Assalamualaikum everyone. Welcome to our monthly Friday events. Inshallah, we are going to transfer to Halakas now. That is coming up soon, inshallah. For our MCs today, we have Sister Thuraya and Brother Ibrahim. They will be leading us through this discussion. Unfortunately, Sheikh Shahid's laptop crashed last minute, so I'm going to hand it off to our MCs to do a short introduction and kind of tell us what we're talking about today. So, Sister Thuraya, Brother Ibrahim, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. So, this week's, or today's, not this week's, event is about gender relations and what is the appropriate and Islamic way to interact with the opposite gender. Sister Thuraya, do you have any comments to say?
I don't have much to say at all, but we will be talking about details and what's halal and what's haram, and if how is like being friends with the opposite gender gonna turn out and what Islam thinks about it. And today we also like to announce that we have a Discord, which if you guys would like to join it, you can. We will be sending out a link to everyone.
Yeah, so if you have any questions, you can put it on the Discord for us to, or any topic suggestions, we can always take it in and implement it into our schedule. Speaking of gender relations, I always didn't know what the correct and incorrect way to do it, and so I'm looking forward to this event to know what is the correct and incorrect way to interact with the opposite gender. We will be waiting for Sheikh Shahid to join. In the meantime, if you have any questions, you can ask us. You can put it in the Zoom chat or on YouTube. You can put it in the chat over there. So if you have any questions, just let us know.
I think Sheikh Shahid's computer is also updating. Perfect timing, I guess. But inshallah, I think it's almost 50% done, so we'll just be waiting on him. So if you have any questions, just don't be afraid to ask, inshallah.
Cool.
We can start off with some future plans that MYT has been thinking about. Inshallah, up until Ramadan, we are planning on doing halakas every Friday. We are going to have a Google form available, hopefully, inshallah, this weekend for people to sign up. We are limiting the people to 15 people so the halakah doesn't grow too much. And pretty much during this time, it's kind of like a chill and talk and, you know, where's your day at and stuff, kind of like a way to rewind after, you know, a long week of school. And inshallah, we will be starting it soon. Sheikh Shahid is finally here, alhamdulillah. So I'm going to hand it off to our MCs and Sheikh Shahid to lead the event.
All righty.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Apologize, everyone. Zoom decided to reboot and Microsoft update. It's always a nice timely way to have a Microsoft update. So alhamdulillah, we're here for tonight as Sister Nadia and Brother Ibrahim and Sister Thoraya mentioned. For tonight, we're talking about gender relations in Islam and how to understand it. And obviously, it's a very timely topic, of course, with Valentine's Day coming up. And just in general, right, it's important that we go over this and kind of just talk about it. And a lot of people have a lot of questions about it, some about why there's so much strictness in the way that we have gender relations in Islam. But we want to kind of start off and understand that in general. So number one is that when we talk about the interaction with brothers and sisters, right, that is obviously it could be a precarious situation in terms of a brother when a sister when they interact. Why is that for? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put inside of us the for brothers to like sisters and for sisters to like brothers, right? And then that could be if there's something else other than that, then we'll have to talk about other things, if you will. But that's how it is. That's the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it, alhamdulillah. And that's actually a very good thing, right? And so what do you understand that every desire that a person has, whether it's a desire for money, which is a desire for food, whether a desire for fame and pride, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us guidelines. So, you know, you want to be prideful, you know, you want people to like you, you want people, you know, you like money, you know, or you like, you know, relations, obviously with a brother for a woman, for a guy with a woman, or a woman for a guy, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these are all natural things that's inside of us, right? But there's certain guidelines, there's certain elements that we need to look for that carry out these innate nature and innate things that are inside of us that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we talk about money, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about la tusrifu, do not be wasteful. Yeah, make your money, whatever, do that, etc. But don't be wasteful where you're just buying a bunch of clothes and extra cars, etc. Right? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about our food, we all love eating, right? It's a craving that we have inside for whether sweets or meat or whatever it is, steak. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, obviously, do not waste. The Prophet talks about, you know, eating one third, drinking one third, leave one third for air. Helps us calm us down in terms of a desire. Now, when we talk about relations with the opposite gender, right, it's the same thing, right? Because people could go out and do all type of things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, okay, we know that you, brother so-and-so, you like this girl, or sister so-and-so, you like this guy, but doing it in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Just like any other type of craving, any type of desires that we have. And so that is the aim of the whole objective, that what we want to do, since we're Muslims, right? And we say, oh, ya Rabb, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we worship you, we acknowledge that you are the true God, right? And you have created us. There's no other God other than you, right? Tell us how to live. Tell us how to interact. Now, we have programs like this because not everyone's going to necessarily like that. Not necessarily like it, but they might not understand it. Right. And that's why the title of tonight's program is entitled, Why Can't We Just Be Friends? You know, why can a guy and girl just be friends and just hang out and chill? Like, what's the issue? Right. So what we look here is that, and let's ask Brother Ibrahim. Let's ask him. Brother Ibrahim, why do you think gender relations is a very important topic for us to go over? Why do you think that's important? Why do you think Islam gives us guidelines for this type of things? Find the unmute button. It is somewhere hiding. So I guess he's trying to find his unmute. Maybe ask Sister Thuraya as.
Something had happened. Could you repeat the question again? Sorry.
The question is that why do you think gender relations is such an important thing in Islam that we have to talk about it and discuss it?
I think it's important to. Be able to develop self-control and be able to understand why things are or rules are put in place.
What do you think we need self-control?
It's important to have self-control with everything because you'd never want yourself to, you know, go, like, you never, you want to have control with everything. So, you know, you control with your money, control with, you know, like, you want to not be arrogant and stay humble. All, like, these all control your pride, control a lot of different things, right?
Yeah.
So, as the gender relations is just one of those controls that Osbundala told us to have. So, yeah.
Good, good. Sister Thuraya, what do you think? Why do you think that's such an important thing that Allah SWT gives us so many guidelines for it, and it's also something that is that we have to need to talk about it?
Well, mostly because being friends with the opposite gender could cause a lot of misunderstandings for both sides. So I think, well, Allah SWT gave us rules and guidelines to keep us away and try to avoid those misunderstandings, and help us know what's right and what's wrong, and not what to do and what to do.
Very good, very good. And that's the thing, because if we have no guidelines, right, and then people just do whatever, what would happen? Well, what happened, what's kind of going on in our society? Of course, I mean, other religions have certain guidelines, whether it's implemented as much as we maybe implement it or not, that's another topic of discussion. But I think all you guys got to go to school, you see that guys and girls, they interact, you know, normally, right? They walk to class together, they have lunch together, they have Starbucks together, right? They chat with each other, right? You know, they're on this, they're friends on Instagram, they're friends on Facebook, etc., right? And so you're like, you know, for them it's quite normal. So like, you're like, oh, hold on, like, what's the big issue? Why can't we just be like that and just, you know, just have friends with anybody? Well, and maybe it's not necessary. Maybe it's not something that you're not seeing, but I think a lot of us, you do see this, that the percentage of people, teenagers, that has involved in intimacy acts, if you will, or sexual acts, and in an age of a teen, of us as a teen, is around 40% for guys, and around, you know, similar percent for girls. Okay, that's almost half. You know, we could round up a little bit, if you will, right? Almost half. That they are not just being friends, if you think about it, right? They're doing a little bit more, if you will. And what happens, those things, you might, for them, they might not be a big issue. They're like, oh, big deal, you know, whatever. I have a girlfriend 1 week, another girl, another week, you know, I'm dating this person, I go to prom with that girl, next, go to somewhere else. And it can be very interchangeable for them. And for them, you'll say like, hey, it's America, what's the issue? What's the big issue, right? Well, the thing is, though, when we talk about morality, when we talk about modesty, that's probably not a topic that they're probably going to talk about. They're like, what are you talking about, modesty? What do you mean? What is, I don't even know what the word modesty means, honestly, right? Because it's not really brought up. But then we come from an angle where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord that directs our lives, right, brings up these different topics. And for them, having relations before marriage or whatever they're doing might not be very important to them, right? It's just, you know, we're having fun, we're friends, we're living, etc., you know, YOLO, if you will, right? And so for us, we don't necessarily run that way. We don't have necessarily a YOLO because we have another life in the hereafter, right? And so that's something else that makes us a little bit different. We're not just, you know, hate to use this example, but like animals, just go ahead and they mate with this person and that, not person, but this animal, etc., and they do whatever they want, if you will. Who knows if animals, I mean, they probably have some modesty too, right? But we're humans, we have some type of dignity, and our modesty is some of the utmost importance that, of course, is very lost in this generation in America for a while now, where that's not even a topic of concern, the way that you interact and the way that if your privacy is infringed upon by someone else or not, no one really talks about that. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us some guidelines. And this is kind of the basis of our talk for tonight. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Isra, chapter number 17, where he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not come close to adultery. Do not come close to fornication. What is that? What's adultery and fornication? It's relationships with another person before marriage or someone who you're not married with, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the general rule in Islam is that if you want to like somebody, and you want to have intimacy with them, and you know they're whatever, they're cute, they're beautiful, whatever, then Allah said, okay, well, do it in a proper way. We have an institute called nikah or marriage. Do it in that. Like, I don't want to do that. I just kind of want to have relations and kind of go, you know, and then next week, someone else. No, we're not talking about an item at a store you buy, you return back. It's not Costco, okay? These are human beings that have emotions, and they're people, they have dignity. You just don't use it, and then it's like kind of fun, and then next week, use another one and return it back and switch it up. No, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we don't barter, especially for women like this, if you will, and definitely for guys also. But if you want, there's an institute of marriage. Okay, what's the institute of marriage? Well, yeah, right. So the husband has to provide for the wife, and right? And then yeah, there's, you know, you have to take care of each other. Like, whoa, I don't want, that's a lot of responsibility. Well, exactly, right? Because it's another person's emotions and life you are dealing with, right? And that's why we have people, unfortunately, you have this like teenage pregnancies and so forth, where women, girls get pregnant, and then the guy's like, I'm 16 years old, I'm 18 years old, I don't even know how to even, you know, clean my own room. And so, and then what happens, society gets all flipped upside down. We have a lot of these issues. And that's maybe not the most, that's not the majority of cases that we see in our community, but it's definitely something that's going on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the wording here, la taqrab zina, right? Don't come close to zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, don't do adultery, don't do fornication. But he says, do not come close to it. Ibrahim, what do you think that means by not coming close to it?
I think what it means is that it's like, don't even like think about or even attempt to even do any of those things.
Sister Thuraya,
I was going to say, stay as far as possible away from it.
Oh, very good. Sister Thuraya, what do you pick up from that meaning?
I agree with Ibrahim and what he said, that we should stay away and keep aware. And yeah, basically everything he said, I agree with it.
Okay, right. So try to stay away from these type of things. How about there's somebody on TikTok you follow. It's a girl and she does the new coolest dance moves in her bedroom. Do you think watching those videos, would that be la taqrab zina? Ibrahim, what do you think?
I think so, because it's going close to those things, correct?
Right, all right. That if you're just people are doing this and they're like, I don't even know this person, but I'm watching it, or you might follow it, right? So the way la taqrab zina, don't come close to it, could be manifested in multiple ways, right? And that's what we're trying to go over. Allah SWT also tells us, don't stare and lust at girls, and guys don't, and you know, girls don't stare and lust at guys, right? Sort of Nuh, chapter number 24, Allah talks about lowering your gaze and not just lusting, and to cover your private area, to dress properly. Why? To not bring anything that might come close to what? To zina, right? And the next thing, the thing is though, the eyes, when you see something, if a guy sees a girl, like, wow, who is that, right? And then you're like, oh, and the next thing, like, what class is she going to? And then the next thing you know, like, oh, who's she getting, you know, lunch with? And next thing you know, you might pass her in the hallway, and what are you going to say? You might say, hi, hello. You might start talking, and what? It keeps on going and going and going, all right? And all starts with what? Right here, with the eyes. And that's super hard to control, especially in a high school environment, or even, you know, at the mall or society. But here, that takes a lot of type of a discipline, if you will, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of gives us all these different type of things to try to make sure that we try to stay with these certain things. And there's very interesting things that you might think about, how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did he deal with this when we talk about gender relations, right? So we talk about, now everyone understands, this is the basis of don't coming close to adultery. And what could that be? That could be conversation. That could be a friendship. That could be multiple things. But then you're probably saying, hold on, if I have a girl that's my friend and I'm a guy, doesn't mean that we're going to start dating or doing anything kind of funny. She's just in my class and we just talk, like, and like I know her for so many years, right? Or a girl says, I know this one guy, right? Yeah, he sees that, he's funny, whatever, cool. We haven't done anything. So it's not like something's going to happen. Why can't we just be friends? Why can't we just do this? Or why can't we do that? That's very interesting. And that's a good topic and a good question. And we're going to get to that, make it a little bit suspenseful. We're going to get to that, inshallah ta'ala, towards the end. But I want to bring up some things about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he dealt with this and kind of give that little background. And then we'll move into some of these different questions here, if you will, inshallah ta'ala. So it was interesting that there's a time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was out on a journey. And one of the companions named him was that was there. He went out and there's a woman that were, you know, feeding their animals, and they're out there and they're talking. And so he looked at them and obviously was like, you know, there's some nice girls and ladies, right? So he went over there and started talking to them. Okay. There's no need for him to go there. But guess what? He was attracted to them there, whatever, you know? And so guess who walks up right behind him? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taps him on his shoulder and says, "Yeah, Abu Abdullah." He calls him by his nickname. He says, "Oh, well, Abu Abdullah, you know, how are you doing?" I'm like, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh," and he got really scared. And so he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Oh, I'm looking for a rope to tie my camel." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew, and Abu Abdullah knew that he wasn't telling the truth. Everyone knew that, right? But he understood that this may be the thing that he shouldn't be doing, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, "Oh, you're lying. You're doing haram. What are you doing?" He said, "Okay." But he knew that, and so he walked away. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will walk back, and he will see him every time on this journey as they're getting back into Medina. They're on a journey coming back into Medina. And anytime they come close to him, he says, "Oh, Muhammad, how is that? Did you find your camel?" And he said, "And I will try to avoid the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so I don't have to answer that question." And then he said, he came back into Medina. And of course, when time to pray, what are you going to do? You have to go to the masjid. But guess who's going to be at the masjid? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he lives right close by. So he said that he used to go in times when nobody would be there, like in between the prayer times, and then come and pray. And then what happened is that he was praying and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him and said, "Oh, Abu Muhammad, Abu Abdullah, keep on praying. I'll wait for you right here." Right? And so he knew he was God. He couldn't go anywhere. So he kept on praying. And then at the end, he comes to him and he says, "Ya Rasulullah, I don't have no camel." Right? And the Prophet knew that he didn't have any camel. Right? But he just told him, "May Allah bless you and protect you." And he made dua for him. One thing is really beautiful, the way that Prophet interact with him. He didn't shame him in front of the girls. Nobody wants to get shamed in front of girls, right? Right, Ibrahim? That's like the worst thing. Have you ever been shamed in front of girls before? No?
No, I have not.
Alhamdulillah. Because you wouldn't be there in the first place. You wouldn't even be there in that situation, mashallah, right? So anyhow, the Prophet doesn't do that. And when he corrects them, he doesn't even bring up the incidents. Because he kind of knows that he already knows what's going on. There was another time, hadith in Sahih Bukhari. This was during Hajj, where the Prophet ﷺ went to go make tawaf around the Kaaba. Okay. And sometimes he will do it while riding an animal, like a donkey or a camel. And you could do this also when you go around the Kaaba. That's how they do it back in the day. And so some people walk, either way, it's fine. And so the Prophet ﷺ was riding. And with him was a young Sahabi, a young companion of the Prophet ﷺ. And so they're going around. Remember, they're doing worship. They're going, making tawaf around the Kaaba, which is walking around the Kaaba and making du'as and other things. And so this young Sahabi, companion of the Prophet ﷺ, sees this lady, and then starts staring at her. And the girl starts staring at him. You know, they're caught eyes. You know, like love at first sight. You know what I mean? Ibrahim, do you believe in love at first sight? No, don't answer that question. But anyhow, all right. And so they saw each other. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed. And remember, he's on the Prophet's camel. Like, you know, like you would think that, you know, maybe you shouldn't, you know, be very careful. Like, Prophet's right there. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's looking. takes his face and moves it this way. Right? That's all he does. He doesn't even tell him anything. So all the brothers in our youth group here, if I ever walk up to you and I take your face and I move you to the side, you know what's going on. Okay. Sisters, I can't physically do that, but you know, anyhow. So just be careful. Okay. And that's all he did. And then the lady came up and she had a question to ask the Prophet about making Hajj. I have to make Hajj for my father. He was sick and so forth. But you see how the Prophet just dealt with it, right? What did he knows that this is a feeling that guys get for girls, and alhamdulillah, girls get for guys. That's something that's natural, right? But once again, like I'm going back what I started for at the beginning, you have to kind of crave that and make sure that doesn't lead to something else. And they're doing tawaf. Right, they're not just sitting down like chilling, you know, they're doing worship, and this is happening. Another incident which is very interesting, it was during Salah time in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid, and it's this narrated, this hadith is narrated in a bunch of different collections, that there was a lady that was very beautiful that would come for prayer. MashaAllah, of course, women used to come to prayer at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid all the time, and so, but she was very beautiful, and so what happened is that some of the male companions are there praying. They started praying in the back, towards the back of the lines, because back in those days, they didn't have a wall between the guy, the women and the men. And so they noticed her. So they will purposely sit in the back, okay? And then some of the companions that really came for prayer, and they're not, alhamdulillah, they're not worried about those type of things. They're praying in the front of the lines. And so what happens is mentioned in the hadith, that when they'll make ruku, when they make the bowing, they will look under their armpit and check her out a little bit. They'll take a look at her, right? They're like, and take a little look, if you will, right? Because she was very beautiful. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse in the Quran, a verse in the Quran that comes down in Surah Hijr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا مُسْتَقْدِمِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا Mutasakhirin. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we know of who are the ones that want to stand in the front, and we know the ones who want to stand in the back, right? And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's it. The verse is revealed, and God is a reminder to them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't tell the lady, "Hey, you're causing fitna. You're attracting all the men. Go pray home." No, he didn't tell him that. Didn't tell her that. But he's dealing with them and in a way that they have these natural type of emotions. But once again, going back to, like I said, it's just craving it. Like, guys, don't look at her too much, because guess what? Next thing you know, you want to come closer and then get the person, know the person's name, etc. And then things could go downhill from there. All right. So what I want to do, I'm going to give you four kind of pointers that we could do if you want your dealing with the opposite gender. And then we'll look into some situations on kind of the situation that I brought up. If you have a sister and you have a guy that's your friend at school, and you guys just whatever study together or just talk and you see each other, is that haram? Is that wrong? And then same thing, if you're a guy and there's girls, and you know, you see them went in and out, you know, coming back and forth. Of course, with COVID here, you know, you guys are all, you know, you don't have that environment unless you guys have your cameras on during, you know, on your classroom settings. But even that is not really true interaction. But the four P's I want everyone, inshallah, to understand when we talk about these gender relations is that if you're going to interact with the opposite gender, for a brother to interact with a sister or a sister to interact with a brother, number one, there has to be appropriate purpose why you're doing so. Why are you walking over there and talking to her? Oh, I want to know what time class started. Oh, I want to know what question number four was on the exam. I didn't hear it. Right? Oh, I just want to talk to her because, you know, she's my friend, right? So here's that there need to be a purpose. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about guys and girls and how their relationship is. Where he says, "Al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minat ba'aduhum awliya li-ba'd." Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the believing women and the believing men are allies to each other. Or they support each other. They work with each other. All right, everyone loves that part. I'm like, all right, that's what I'm talking about, right? But then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say after that? يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْيَنْهَانَ الْمُنْكَرِ ويقيم الصلاة ويؤتي الزكاة ويطيع الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمه الله إن الله عزيز حكيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they're allies with each other in what? They command good and forbid evil. They establish salah and give zakat. And they obey Allah and obey the messenger. Those are the ones Allah will forgive. Indeed, Allah is mighty and wise. Okay. So you're like, oh, okay. So the purpose here is that, are you guys working together to bring some good, to prevent some evil? Of course, to pray, charity, etc. These are some of the things, if you will. Now, just sitting at Starbucks and chatting up and saying how you're doing, what's going on, etc. Is that ya'muru bil ma'ruf wa nahyu 'anil munkar? Is that commanding good and forbidding evil? Is that a good purpose? Probably not. Just chatting with a sister, just chatting with a guy, and just talking here and there. A guy from school, how you're doing? What are you doing on your COVID break? And you know what's happening there? And there's not really, I mean, a true purpose is to have a dialogue, then that's probably better to stay away with. But if you have a legit question that you need to go and ask a sister, or for a sister to ask a brother, there is a need, right, that you have to ask that person, then alhamdulillah, we do it. And of course, there's nothing wrong with having greeting somebody, like, hi, how are you doing? How's everything good? And that's good. You don't have to keep on going on about everything else, right? But you know, just a normal greeting, that's fine. But to keep on having dialogue and deeper dialogue about what's your favorite song, what's your favorite show, right? You know, and then you keep on getting deeper in conversation. Well, there's not really much need for that. Those type of questions, and tell me if I'm wrong, guys, is only going to bring more attachment. Now, does that mean that you guys are getting married or you guys are going to do some weird, funny things? No. Is a majority of the sisters for the guys that you're gonna interact with, are you gonna do some like haram stuff? Probably not. For the sisters, are you gonna maybe end up doing some haram stuff for the guy? Probably not, right? But is there a chance it might happen? Might. Will that happen to you? Inshallah, no. But what happened to this one person over here, or maybe one person over here? It might. They might be too weak, and they might be too weak, and they might end up doing something else. So guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops all those things at its root, even though that might not happen to everyone else. So there's a principle in Islam is stopping an evil before it grows, or stopping evil at its base, right? Even though this might not harm you at all, might not never happen to you. You could talk to your guy, you could talk to girls all day long, and you know, you might not even never think of, we're going to date or we're going to do this or nothing. And you might live your whole life and see, what is all this big hoopla about? Nothing happened to me. Very true, right? And that might happen to multiple people. But person number 85, or person number 44, or person number 300 might fall into haram. Or sister so-and-so, and sister so-and-so might fall into haram. So the basis is that we lock the door and we stop it all from altogether, just so no one falls into that. Is that fair? When we look at alcohol, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there's good in alcohol and there's some bad in alcohol, but Allah has forbidden. So one person said, I could drink this much alcohol on one cup or one beer or whatever. Nothing's going to happen. I'll drive perfectly. No problem, right? I won't be an alcoholic. And you know what? And we can monitor that person their whole life and say, wow, yeah, it's true. So why is alcohol haram? Well, once again, person number 44 ends up, you know, killing someone on the freeway because they were drunk. Person so-and-so ends up, you know, beating their family because they got drunk one day, or they end up harming their own self, or whatever the case may be. So guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just cuts it out altogether, even though that might not harm everyone else, right? So here is that we have to understand our deen, our Islam, is a religion of caution, right? And you're like, and you could argue that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise that created all of us, he's the one that put that down, right? And of course, Allah subhanahu knows much more than us. What do you think about that, Sister Thuraya? Is that you think all the youth will buy that, or do you think that's still hard to understand?
Well, some youth, they don't understand it, and they still think that it's okay for them to do so. And some youth, well, they think otherwise, and they think, yeah, maybe we should follow the words of Allah, and maybe we should actually stick to our religion and not do so.
Do you think that that interaction for girls with guys and guys, girls, like once you taste that, once you have that interaction, is that very hard to break off
and stop? Well, it depends on some people. Some people may, it could be easy for some people and it could be hard for others.
Ibrahim, what do you think, Brother Ibrahim?
I agree with Sister Raya. I think that for some people, it is very easy. And then others, it's a bit difficult for them.
Right. And that's the thing. It's because naturally, you know, for most guys, right, they like the attention of sisters. Brother Ibrahim, you think you would agree to that? I'm not talking about you personally. I mean, we're not.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Generally, most guys do like the attention of the opposite gender.
Right. Sister Thuraya, not you personally. Do you think sisters in general like the attention of guys?
Personally, I think some of them do.
Right, of course, right? Like, that's an easy one. If anyone out in the crowd there, mashallah, we have a lot of people here attending. You could tell me, do you think that's true? We have Sister Fatima, mashallah, our NYG president, that here. You could tell me if that you think that is that the case? Or not, if you will, right? And everyone else out there in the virtual world, if you will, right? And so this is the thing here. So you also have to make sure what that purpose is. But like I said, people like that attention and like the attention of guys to comment on my clothes if it's a girl, or for a guy to dialogue with a girl and, you know, et cetera. And not to do anything, but just have that friendly relationship, right? It's very, you know, that's very like, you know, liking to them. And like I said, but it could be dangerous. Another P, the second P I want to go over is professionalism. So once again, that goes into the topic of conversation. I kind of alluded to that already, is that you're professional when you dialogue with them. You're not necessarily like lying down and talking like this, and you're talking in a professional way, not in a way that's showing you that you're really relaxed, you're really comfortable with them. Because once you do that, you start breaking down barriers, right? Calling each other by nicknames, stuff like this is not professional. And what happens is that now you're getting really comfortable. And now the barriers are getting broken down, the walls are going down. And so that brings another level of closeness, if you will. Third P, and that is P of third P mean public. You want to make sure the interaction between a guy and a girl, and a girl and a guy, if there's a need and a purpose to do so, try to make sure that's done in a public setting. If it's online, if it's in a one chat group, that's better, right? Or Discord channel, everyone else is seeing it, that's better. Why? Because that's going to save you. If you're in front of other people, you're not going to say something that might be inappropriate or something that might be really personal or intimate, because everyone's going to see that, right? And so here you want to make sure keep those interactions public. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that a woman and a man should not be alone together except with their mahram, her mahram, meaning like someone that she can't marry, like her father or brother, etc. Right? And another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, no man is alone with a woman except the shaitan is a third person. Ibrahim, what do you think that means?
I think it means that if there's two people who are alone together, then the third person is shaitan, and who's gonna try to do things and like put thoughts and things like that.
Things like that. He didn't say specifically what those things were. Right. Right. But that's exactly that, right? And so you see, if you're chatting with somebody and then a group and there's guys and girls, whatever. But if you see they have a DM that comes, things might get a little different, right? You know, those emojis are changing, if you will, right? Ibrahim knows about those emojis. He's smiling. He knows about those, right? You know, the ones with the heart eye ones?
Happy ones.
Only happy ones. Okay, sorry.
Only happy.
Oh, okay. Not the one that this with the kissing one like this. Okay, not that one, right? Okay, stuck for Allah, definitely not, right? And so here is that, but how can you, could you have a virtual, like alone with a guy and a girl? Yeah, right? So that means like these, you know, different ways that you're online, right? You could also have that and have that dialogue on those DMs, etc. And so you have to be careful because once again, the dialogue might change. So you wanna keep it public as possible. Going back to purpose, right? So making sure that your purpose with that interaction with that person, the opposite gender, there's a proper purpose. So for a guy, for example, knows a girl at school and he knows her and whatever, she's popular or whatever, good looking, whatever the case may be. Or for a girl that knows a guy at school and you know, he's cute and other things, if you will. And how about if she finds out his Facebook page or his Instagram account or his, you know, TikTok channel, you know, or whatever account, do you think it's okay for them to follow them? Even though they're not really chatting with them, they just follow them. They just, you know, befriend them on Facebook and follow them on Instagram or follow them on Twitter. You think that's okay?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's a debatable thing because some people say it's not okay, but then like others have the argument that it's okay because like if you ever need something or you know you want to just ask them, hey, what's the homework for this? I missed it, or hey, I forgot this. Do you know what it? Or like I forgot when the test is. Do you know what it is? So. Again, it's like with the purpose thing. So it depends on what you use it for. So if you're going to use it for those things, then I think it's fine. But if you're going to use it for other stuff, just for conversations thing, then it's not okay.
Mr. Farai, what do you think?
I agree with Ibrahim. I mean, if you want their socials just to connect with them on important stuff or ask them questions here and there, but like having it like to be friends and to be close to each other, I think that's not allowed.
Right. And you think like everyone brother bring up this good point, like, you know, if you want to ask them a question, etc. But then you can always bring up the rebuttal to that is that why don't you ask a guy in the group on your class what was question number 3 or was chapter number 3 on the test or not? And the thing is if you just follow them on Instagram, you know, so you could ask them a question. If they're posting their like family pictures or they're posting their, you know, their new dance routine that they're doing or their new outfit that they're bought and you're just then what happened is that it's not always about questions because whatever they post you're going to get a notification for it, right? And you're going to see it. Same thing with, you know, TikTok or something. Obviously no one really asks questions on TikTok. I don't think anyone does that, right? And so even Facebook and so forth, right? So then what happens is that it's if you follow them or you befriend them, you end up getting like this really personal type, depends what they post honestly, right? Very intimate type of relation with them because you're seeing their intimate side of their family and what they do and what they're eating and, you know, all these, you know, people post all type of things. And so that opens the door again for something else. And we have to really watch out for our eyes of what we watch and, like, you know, what we're seeing online, especially all the videos now, everyone's making videos of themselves doing who knows, right? So that's something just to be careful about and maybe something you probably don't want to do or definitely have those type of followings, if you will. Last thing I'll go over is next last P will be personal space. So if there's a guy and a girl, then, you know, there's some purpose while they're talking, then they shouldn't probably stand right next to like this, if you will. Just kind of give a space so everyone knows that you're not in their comfort zone, sit right next to each other. Or we're studying, right? Okay, just give that space. That space gives a little bit more comfort that you're not so close to them. You know, you're very easy, obviously, to keep on looking at each other. So you're kind of further away, right? And that keeps away from any type of ideas or anything that might happen and kind of give more of a little safe zone, if you will. And that's very important to do. And obviously, that's why we have this brothers and sisters are separated at the Muslim Assembly for classes and so forth, because you're there to study. You're there for doing something. And so there's no reason for them to sit next to each other, even though they might not do anything, right? Like I mentioned, but it just makes people a little bit more comfortable, right? And this is our deen, and this is something that we kind of brought up. I mean, you know, it's the kind of things that we have. And it's very interesting. You guys all know when the whole Me Too movement was really kicking off and it started getting really getting a lot of steam, and a lot of people were coming out and saying, you know, this person did this to me, this person did that to me. And I remember Mike Pence, obviously the former vice president of our country. I think some other people in Congress and government have made a rule for themselves, or they already always had a rule where they never met with females alone. And it was interesting, like, subhanAllah, that's a Sharia, that's Islam, right? And why? Because things could happen, right? And even that's, you see them that they're applying stuff that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, preached, and maybe they're doing it their whole life, maybe they changed, and maybe they found wisdom in doing it. But even non-Muslims see the wisdom in that. And so, alhamdulillah, this is our deen, and this is where we come from. And so there's a, you know, alhamdulillah, a lot of benefit for that. So I don't know if there's any question. I don't think we have any questions from the crowd other than a comment about Ibrahim. Mashallah, mashallah. So I don't know if, I don't think we could see any other questions here. Oh, here we go. This is always a good question. So
yeah,
go ahead, Ibrahim, want to ask a question? Or Sister Thuraya, the one?
So the question was, how do we go about finding someone we actually love and get married to when we can't really get to know people of the opposite gender personally?
Very good. So that's a good question. That's a big question that everyone has. How am I supposed to get married if no one's really gonna know me, like inside out, or and so forth? Like I said, you could have your halal game, right? You could be out in the public, right? Alhamdulillah, you're at the masjid, or you're at school, or wherever you're at, you know? We're not saying that you have to hide and, you know, and no, you know, no one can look at you, right? And of course, you know, that's fine. So you're out there. And so someone could notice you that, mashallah, you know, let your character, let your mannerism, of course your looks, alhamdulillah, everyone, you know, we'll say has, you know, watch your good looks, right? You know, they're wearing, you know, their Islamic attire, whatever that is for guys and girls, etc., that we, you know, we're dressing appropriately. But let that be your game, where someone approaches you, not because you do some dance moves in your bedroom on TikTok, and like, wow, you're so flexible, right? But no, because that, oh, I see you at the masjid, like I see you participating, right? Oh, you have good character. We went to a family gathering, your aunt got to see you, and like, you know, my aunt said that, you know, mashallah, I was a very respectable person, right? And yes, there is some organizations and marriage matrimonial, you know, committees and stuff that help out. And honestly, there's a lot of people that are out there that are trying to help others find it. But is it tough? Yes, right? At the same time, just that we cannot, since we cannot date and just go and kick out with a girl and, you know, find out, you know, be boyfriend and girlfriend and get to know each other for 1 year or 2 years, doesn't always mean that you're going to get married to that person. How many, you guys go to public school, how many guys and girls you guys know boyfriend and girlfriend and they got married? I mean, they're still like, whatever, 14, 15, 16, 16 years old. The percentage of that is very small. I remember I looked it up. I forgot what it was, right? But it's more chance they're going to find someone else. You know, and even those who know each other for 1, 2, 3 years, they're at the end, they still don't get married, right? Even though they know each other inside out and been with each other for 1 or 2 years, but they still don't do it, right? So that's not always the case. And yes, I would agree with you. It is tough, right? It is tough. And I know myself, I try to help out people. I keep a little list of brothers and sisters, and I try to, you know, match people up in a halal way, and I'll contact their parents and whoever. But alhamdulillah, there's ways to doing that. But I think that once you, if you're trying to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will open doors for you, right? And you're doing it in a way that's halal, and you're not just putting yourself out there and doing things that are questionable. Because you don't want to start your marriage in a way that is not according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that would just drag on the whole marriage, okay? And that have a lot of effects on it. But if you're doing it in a way that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And then inshallah you have barakah in it. So number one, being in the community, being active, right? Right? You're in there, you're taking classes, you're in this committee, people see you, people get to know you. Believe me, word will go around. Believe me, there's tons of people getting married. If you're there, aunties will start talking, people will start talking, and someone's gonna come and tap your shoulder one of these days and ask you about Are you, you know, interested in getting married? How old are you, et cetera, whatever. Anytime you get some of those questions from a random person, know that something's going on, okay? And inshallah, with family relations, obviously, hopefully families are trying to help each other out and get to know each other, and they're talking and so forth. And yes, even with this, that still might not work. And yeah, there are some, you know, Muslim websites out there and online dating things. And I really haven't gone through these websites and see which one's legit and super halal and which one's not even close. But anyhow, you could kind of look and explore those type of things if you want. And hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, you will find that person. And I always say that, you know, the people that you're around, don't say, I'm like, oh, I don't know if there's a girl somewhere sitting in Pakistan that's perfect for me. There's some girl maybe in Canada somewhere. Like, how would I know? And you go crazy. That's probably not the case. The good chance is you're going to get married to someone that's probably in this vicinity that you're in. Maybe in Garden Grove, maybe in Southern California, right? So, you know, once you're out and about, then inshallah ta'ala, you know, you ask friends, you know, other older individuals in the community, you go and you talk to, people will help out, inshallah ta'ala. But like I said, word gets around, and that's how it's been done, honestly, for many, many years before that, and people got married and so forth, right? But yeah, it's a good question. It is tough. It is tough, though. I think we're done. I don't know. This is Ibrahim, do you have any questions about that? Like generation, do you have anything that kind of bothers you? That, you know.
No, I think you answered all of them.
MashaAllah, subhanAllah. That's amazing. Sister Thuraya, what do you think that youth struggle with that maybe we didn't cover, or do you think that they'll still question?
I'm pretty sure we covered most of the stuff. Yeah, there's nothing really else to go over.
Same thing, Ibrahim. You're good. Do you think that youth covered most of the youth issues out there? Do you think anything that we didn't?
Yeah.
Good. Alhamdulillah. Well, alhamdulillah, that's it. So inshallah, I know it's tough, but this is for some of the guidelines that we have to understand. I want to go back and stress on this. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Even though we look around and we don't see this. And I want to end on this hadith here. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting, and he said, Tuba lil ghuraba. He said, give glad tidings of Jannah to the strangers. And then the companions that are sitting around, the Prophet's companions said, who are the strangers? Who are you talking about? He said, these are the people that would come at a time where there'll be a lot of evil around them, and there'll be little righteous people, right? And the evil ones will think the ones who are righteous are doing strange things, are weird, bring covering on their head and praying on a mat and have long beards and, you know, don't eat pork, you know, right? So it's going to be a time that's going to happen. So the Prophet is also trying to tell us, do not get frustrated. Do not, even though the masses are doing something, everyone's doing these dance routines on TikTok, everyone's, you know, dating, everyone going to the prom, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that that's the norm and that's right, right? And if this could be that our society is so far away from what modesty should be or what their creator would want them to do, that we have to know our own identity as Muslims and say, I don't want to even be involved in it. And I understand why I don't want to be involved in it, right? I understand that is silly and that's, you guys are just, you know, ruining your dignity and et cetera. You're not going to put anyone down, but you're saying this in your head, right? And so you're like, I'm not even attracted to those type of things. But you have to get to that level, which is kind of hard to get to. But like I said, with dua and understanding why we have these guidelines, then that's it. So don't think you're a stranger that, you know, everyone else is doing it and I'm the one that's not doing it. But alhamdulillah, it's guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not be demotivated from that, if you will. All right. Do you have another question here?
Yeah, there was another question. It's, what are some things that you should do to prepare yourself for marriage?
Oh, wow. Subhanallah. Well, your age group, I don't think you're at that level yet, but we could definitely talk about it. But if you are preparing to get married, it's like, yeah, you see people you want to get married to, right? You're like, this girl's really, you know, beautiful. This guy's really really cute. Oh, you're getting, inshallah ta'ala, hold it off. Wait till you're ready. Have those type of relationships yet, because it comes with responsibility. And for, of course, for a guy, you have to take care of a woman. So to prepare and financially, you have to be ready. You don't have to be have millions, but you should have some type of game plan, right? And also that you should be ready for a responsibility of understanding how to deal with each other, how to deal with another person that you're going to have to take care of and live with. So responsibility in terms of care, right? And taking care of someone else and living that type of lifestyle. So that's something else mentally that you have to kind of go over. So to prepare yourself, to answer the question, to prepare yourself for marriage is that also you have to understand that you have to be ready in terms of your character and thing that you want to kind of work on. One thing you always will notice, once you get married, you're going to find this out, is that you would see traits in people and those traits are going to be sometimes traits that are going to end up having problems within a marriage. And those traits, once again, are going to be traits that were kind of there since a long time that's been dragging with a person. Whether that person is really mean, that person has a lot of temper, that person is super messy. So when you get married, then that temper comes out again. And then the wife is like, whoa. Well, the husband's like, whoa. And like, we didn't talk about that. Or like, why are you so messy for? Why don't you help clean, right? Or like you say really insultive things like, you know, like, and you have to understand that. So these are things in character-wise, especially at these guys' age at your time now, is to really try to work on that, because that's what's going to, you guys are going to inherit each other and your personalities and your mannerism. And then whatever gaps in, that's where the compromise and the conflicts are going to kind of happen. You kind of have to work together. And inshallah ta'ala, if you love each other, it's going to work, right? But these are some things. So to prepare for marriage, then inshallah, I think all of you, we all should work on each other, our spirituality. If we don't have our salah down, right? Don't have our working on our character, working on our family relationships, etc. And of course, our financials down for the man and these type of responsibilities. And that's it. I mean, there's a lot to go over this. That's like more of like a marriage seminar and stuff like that. We could go another time. But that's just some initial things. I'm just thinking about your age right now, at least from high schoolers, early college, things that inshallah ta'ala they should really be working on before they get into a marriage. And I think the best thing is to talk to people who have been married. Of course, you have your parents, but you probably learned a lot already from them. But talk to others that are like you, are born in this country, or, you know, they go through different things. I think that's sometimes has a different view. Talk to as many people as possible, because they'll all give you something different and something would be very similar. And it's also, you know, it's good things to do. Just like if you're about to go into a job or something like that, you want to know, hey, what's this about? What's this company about, et cetera. So same thing. I think that's very important, especially at this level, that's important to go over. And we all seek companionship. So that's something I think all of us kind of want. Anything? I think we're done. Alhamdulillah. I think we're good, mashallah, with all the questions. So anything else from our MCs from tonight?
No, I think that's it. You summed it up pretty much.
Good.
Did you have anything to say?
I don't really have anything else to say, basically. But just a reminder that if you still want to join our Discord server, we have the link in the chat.
Okay, good. I didn't see that there. Maybe it was there earlier. Okay, good. So yeah, inshallah ta'ala. You guys could join there. So alhamdulillah, we'll thank our MCs for tonight. Mashallah, they're out here volunteering their time, helping out the Muslim youth here at ISOC and the community. Then they want to dedicate their time in helping out the Muslim youth and connecting to the masjid, connected to their deen, etc. And may Allah bless them from all their schoolwork and other things that they're going on in their life. And those people, those individuals got their phone taken away. You know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them get their phone back to them if their parents have taken it away, or their laptop and other things, inshallah ta'ala. I mean, I don't want to name names, but so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and our modesty and our dignity and help us be able to carry out and be careful for the generations, obviously, is something of a slippery slope. You have to kind of watch out for that fine line. So we ask Allah's protection of that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us, bless us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure those who are sick with the coronavirus in our community, to give them shifa, and those who have passed away in our community, to grant them Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those who are not married, to give them righteous spouses, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim. Make it easy for them and protect us and our modesty until we get married, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Barakallahu fikum. May Allah bless you guys and brother Ibrahim Ahmed and sister Thuraya. May Allah bless you guys for coming tonight. Ibrahim Aju for helping out, and sister Nadia on the IT side. Look forward to our halakha, private halakha that we'll be doing for the youth. I think they mentioned it already, right? That you're going to see some advertisements for that.
Sister Nadia, do you want to mention more, say it again about the halakhas?
So inshallah, we will be starting a halakha soon. The Google Forms, inshallah, will be out this weekend. We will be ending it right before Ramadan, and inshallah, we will have an extra Ramadan program set up for you guys. And that's it.
Awesome. All right, guys. Inshallah, have a good weekend and good night. Inshallah, we'll see you at the next program. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.